And just before Lisa comes and speaks to us, I'm going to invite Peter and Helen McClintock to come and read to us first from John chapter 3 and then from Romans chapter 8.
John chapter 3, verses 1 to 17, Jesus and Nicodemus. There was a Jewish leader named Nicodemus who belonged to the party of the Pharisees. One night he went to Jesus and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher sent by God. No one could perform the miracles you are doing unless God were with him." Jesus answered, "I am telling you the truth. No one can see the kingdom of God without being born again." "How can a grown man be born again?" Nicodemus asked. "He certainly cannot enter his mother's womb and be born a second time." "I am telling you the truth," replied Jesus, "that no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and the Spirit. A person is born physically of human parents, but is born spiritually of the Spirit. Do not be surprised because I tell you that you must all be born again. The wind blows wherever it wishes. You hear the sound it makes, but you do not know where it comes from or where it is going. It is like that with everyone who is born of the Spirit." "How can this be?" asked Nicodemus. Jesus answered, "You are a great teacher in Israel, and you don't know this. I am telling you the truth. We speak of what we know and report of what we have seen, yet none of you is willing to accept our message. You do not believe me when I tell you about the things of this world. How will you ever believe me then when I tell you about the things of heaven? And no one has ever gone up to heaven except the Son of Man, who came down from heaven. As Moses lifted up the bronze snake on a pole in the desert, in the same way the Son of Man must be lifted up, so that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. For God loved the world so much that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not die, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to be its judge, but to be its Saviour."
The second reading comes from Romans 8, verses 31 to 39. God's love in Jesus Christ. "In view of all this, what can we say? If God is for us, who can be against us? Certainly not God, who did not even keep back his own Son, but offered him for us all. He gave us his Son. Will he not also freely give us all things? Who will accuse God's chosen people? God himself declares them not guilty. Who then will condemn them? Not Christ Jesus, who died, or rather, who was raised to life and is at the right-hand side of God, pleading with him for us. Who then can separate us from the love of Christ? Can trouble do it, or hardship, or persecution, or hunger, or poverty, or danger, or death? As the scripture says, 'For your sake we are in danger of death at all times. We are treated like sheep that are going to be slaughtered.' No. In all these things we have complete victory through him who loved us. For I am certain that nothing can separate us from his love, neither death nor life, neither angels nor other heavenly rulers or powers, neither the present nor the future, neither the world above nor the world below. There is nothing in all creation that will ever be able to separate us from the love of God, which is ours through Christ Jesus our Lord." This is the word of the Lord.
Let's pray together. Loving God, we thank you for your word to us this morning. And Lord, we pray that as we listen now, your spirit will be free to move amongst us. Speak to us, open our hearts and minds. Help us to hear from you, to be ready to be encouraged, challenged, and inspired, and to receive all that you want to say to us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. So this morning we are continuing in our series looking at life in the kingdom of God. Now we've said that at this time we're living in an in-between time because God's kingdom has arrived through Jesus, but it's not yet come in all its fullness. And so although God's kingdom is here, we're still faced with the pain and the suffering that is part of this world. even though we know that one day such pain and sadness will come to an end. As we look at the encounter that Nicodemus had with Jesus, I'd like us to consider this morning how this event reveals to us the compassion of God, and especially how God's compassion can help us today through the struggles of life. John tells us that Nicodemus, a Jewish leader and a Pharisee, sought out Jesus one night to ask him some questions. Now, this was perhaps an unusual encounter. The Gospels tell us frequently of the struggles that Jesus had with the Pharisees. So maybe it's not surprising to hear that Nicodemus came to find Jesus at night. Earlier on, John had reported that Jesus had been challenging the temple authorities, and Nicodemus would not want to be seen as some kind of collaborator or supporter of such behaviour. So it was under the cover of darkness that Nicodemus went to Jesus to ask him some questions. But that darkness that Nicodemus went, it wasn't just the physical place he was in. He was also in a place of spiritual darkness. Even though he was a teacher himself and he was a member of the Jewish ruling council, he didn't understand who Jesus was or the message that Jesus was bringing. Nicodemus's concern was for the miracles that he knew Jesus was performing. We heard in verse 2, he said, "We know you are a teacher sent by God. No one could perform the miracles you were doing unless God were with him." But Jesus wasn't interested in the sensational and the miraculous. His concern was that Nicodemus should have a relationship with the living God. Just as Jesus met with Nicodemus in his darkness, this story reminds us that the compassion of God reaches out to us to meet us in our darkness. Perhaps like Nicodemus, we have questions we need to ask. We're not clear who Jesus is, or maybe we have some doubts about God or about God's love. Maybe we feel like our darkness isn't spiritual, but perhaps we're hurting. Maybe we're anxious. Perhaps, as we're thinking of this morning, we're really feeling the loss of losing a loved one. Maybe we feel in a place of despair. However we might feel in darkness today, God wants to meet us in that place. There have been times when I've spoken to people and they've said to me, "But I don't feel good enough to come to God at the moment." Or, "I don't feel I'm together enough to think about God." But Nicodemus reminds us that we don't have to wait until we have life sorted before we approach God. We don't have to wait until the questions are all answered. We don't have to wait until the chaos or the pain has gone enough for us to feel in a good place. God wants to meet us in our darkness. More than that, he understands our darkness. Jesus knew all about Nicodemus. He understood his questions. He knew the points where he was confused. So as Nicodemus respectfully approached Jesus, greeting him by the name Rabbi, Jesus pushed Nicodemus to move to another level of inquiry. He challenged Nicodemus's understanding of the kingdom of God and what it means to be a part of it, saying, "I'm telling you the truth. No one can see the kingdom of God without being born again." In doing so, he challenged Nicodemus to come out of his spiritual darkness and into the light. Now, Nicodemus was a well-taught Jew, And as such, he would have anticipated the arrival of the kingdom of God at the end of history. Now, the message of Jesus was saying that the kingdom of God had actually arrived through him. And Nicodemus would also have assumed that he was well and truly a part of God's kingdom. He was a Jew, he was a religious professional, and he was a Pharisee. And then here was Jesus saying something else was needed. Actually, Nicodemus needed to be born again. As Nicodemus questioned him further, Jesus revealed the kingdom of God is not about rules or regulations that need to be followed. It's recognizing that through Jesus, God himself stepped into the darkness in order to bring people into the light. And this wasn't because of God's need to try and put things right. It was because of his love for the world, to bring transformation and to restore the world into his kingdom. But God's actions through Jesus don't lead to an automatic ticket to eternal life. They require a response. And the response that Jesus is looking for is for people to believe and trust in him. Verse 16 of chapter 3 is probably the most famous verse in the Bible. For God loved the world so much that he gave his only son, so that everyone who believes in him may not die, but have eternal life. This verse reveals the depth of God's love for each one of us. The fact that he was willing to let Jesus enter our dark world, knowing fully the pain and the suffering that he would have to go through, because he loved us so much, and because he wanted to give us the opportunity to know and love him too. But that verse also reminds us that because Jesus went through life and death on earth, he also knows, like us, what it is to suffer, what it is to be in agony, to mourn, to be in despair. God doesn't only meet us in our darkness. He understands the darkness we're in because Jesus himself experienced it. There was one occasion in my life when I'd been through a very painful experience and I was really struggling. I felt so hurt that I physically ached inside and that ache would not go away. I felt isolated and abandoned. I felt I'd been betrayed by people who I thought cared. And I can remember one moment so vividly. I was driving home with tears streaming down my face. And I shouted out in desperation to God, "Nobody knows how much I am hurting. Nobody understands how I feel." And at that moment, as clear as anything, I heard the words, "I do. I do." I stopped the car at the side of the road and just sat still for a moment. And slowly my mind went through some of the experiences that Jesus had faced. The betrayal that he had experienced from one of his closest friends. The pain that he felt when he wept at the loss of a good friend. The humiliation that he felt as he hung on the cross. The isolation and the abandonment he felt, not only from his disciples who walked away, but ultimately in his death when he was separated from his Father. And at that moment, I knew it was true. Jesus did know how I felt. He'd experienced the same emotions in his life on earth, albeit through different circumstances. And he knew the pain that I was in at that moment because he was in it with me. When we're finding life hard, when we're hurting, mourning, frustrated, isolated, anxious, one of the hardest things to deal with is actually how we feel. It seems at that moment like we are so alone that nobody else feels the way that we do, and no one understands. And sometimes friends and family gather around us and they support us. And people say, yeah, I know how you feel. And it is reassuring to know that someone else has been there and experienced something similar to us. But sometimes, don't you just want to say, no, you don't. How can you know actually how I'm feeling right now? Does anybody know really how somebody else feels at that moment? My experience in the car that day tells me that somebody does know how we feel. God knows and understands every bit of our darkness. He knows it because he's been there in Jesus, experiencing the same emotions as us, and he knows it because he is with us there in the pain. God knows what it is to lose a loved one. He knows what it is to be misunderstood. He knows the pain of rejection, humiliation, and abandonment. He knows how it feels to be betrayed. God understands our darkness, and he understands where we are at this moment because he is walking with us through our own days of darkness too. And if we are prepared, like Nicodemus, to go to Jesus in that place of darkness, then not only will he walk with us through it, but he will also bring light into our darkness. The story that John tells us there in chapter 3 doesn't actually reveal how Nicodemus responds. Jesus has given him the answers to his questions. He's revealed there is so much more to eternal life than Nicodemus ever thought. But will Nicodemus believe and trust in him? Will he choose to walk into the light? It's interesting to note that Nicodemus appears twice more in John's Gospel. In chapter 7, he defends Jesus' interests when the Pharisees are trying to condemn him. And then in chapter 19, after Jesus has been crucified, Nicodemus goes with Joseph of Arimathea to prepare Jesus' body for burial and to put him in the tomb. Now, Nicodemus didn't appear to have been one of the disciples. He wasn't openly following Jesus. But surely, something in that encounter with Jesus had opened his eyes. Otherwise, why else would he have been there with Jesus at the end, wanting to be there for him? Surely the light that Jesus revealed had intrigued Nicodemus, had captivated him, and begun to bring light into his darkness. Because Jesus is the light of the world, and he came into the darkness to bring his light into our world. John reminds us at the start of his gospel that Jesus didn't come just to replace religious institutions. He came to give life and hope to people. In chapter 1, verse 4, John says, "The Word was the source of life, and this life brought light to humanity." Jesus came to bring light into our world, into our darkness, to transform us and renew us, and to reconcile us to God. In this in-between time, when we're living in God's kingdom, and yet we're waiting for it to come in all its fullness, there is still darkness around us. Now, sometimes God's light brings complete transformation, changing situations, renewing lives in an instant. But sometimes that light brings us strength in the darkness, transforming our character, restoring us in a different way. A friend of mine once told me of a time he was seriously ill in hospital. And even though he was on a lot of medication, the pain he was in was still unbearable. And day after day, he cried out to God to take away his pain. And one day, as he prayed, God answered his prayer. But God didn't take away the pain. Instead, God met him in that pain. And my friend, who had been a Christian for a very long time, learnt to know God in a way that he had never experienced before. He understood God's love for him in a depth that he could never have imagined. God brought light into his darkness, but not in the way that he was expecting. In those times when we feel that we are in darkness, whatever kind of darkness that might be, God wants to meet us there. He wants to draw near to us because he loves us. We've heard already this morning that nothing can separate us from that love that God has for us. Even that darkness cannot separate us from God's love. But more than that, God wants to bring light into our darkness. He wants to strengthen us and help us to know that love. And he wants to respond to it so that we believe and trust in him. My question to you this morning is, will you look at Jesus and will you choose to trust in him, whatever darkness you might face? Let's pause for a moment to pray together. Loving God, we thank you for the promise of your word that nothing can separate us from your love. And Lord, we pray this morning for those of us who feel that we are in the midst of that darkness. Help us to look up to you and to move towards you, to want to meet you in our darkness. Help us to be ready to accept your help, your comfort, and your strength. And Lord, please bring light into our darkness. Help us to know who you are and to know your love for us. Help us to see a way forward and to have the courage to trust in you. In Jesus' name, amen.